It's pretty ironic that the very oils recommended by the American Heart Association are actually contributing to the obesity epidemic and state of inflammation that puts people at greater risk of dying from viruses. Hey everyone, Holistic Lexi here. Thank you for tuning in to my podcast, Nutrition Intuition, where I discuss current events and trends in nutrition and bridge the gap in the faults of mainstream science with state-of-the-art research and intuition. Please don't take this in any way as medical advice. It's purely for entertainment and education. I still encourage you to do your own research, of course. Please leave me a rating or a comment on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you're listening on. Your feedback is much appreciated. Enjoy. Hey everyone, Holistic Lexi here. Thank you for tuning in to my podcast, Nutrition Intuition, where I discuss current events and trends in nutrition and bridge the gap in the faults of mainstream science with state-of-the-art research and intuition. Please don't take this in any way as medical advice. It's purely for entertainment and education. I still encourage you to do your own research, of course. Please leave me a rating or a comment on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you're listening on. Your feedback is much appreciated. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to my podcast, Nutrition Intuition. Today, I will be discussing why you shouldn't be eating vegetable oils. So the American Heart Association has their Heart Healthy logo stamped on approved oils, including corn oil, canola oil, soybean oil, safflower, sunflower, etc. Keep in mind that these are the very oils recommended by the U.S. Dietary Guidelines for 2020 to 2025 as heart-healthy alternatives to butter and other saturated fats. And it's the saturated fats from animals that have been vilified and demonized by the science and nutrition industry as the cause of heart disease. However, there's no evidence that they are the cause. The above-mentioned oils, soybean, corn, canola, etc., approved by the American Heart Association and recommended by the Dietary Guidelines as heart healthy, are known as polyunsaturated fats, and you'll hear me reference them as PUFA throughout this podcast. Their chemical structure has multiple double bonds, whereas saturated fats, such as butter and ghee, for example, have no double bonds. Then we have monounsaturated fats, such as olive oil and avocado oil, which only have one double bond. PUFA oils that have multiple double bonds are less stable and can oxidize when exposed to heat and light. If you've ever taken a chemistry class, you may have learned that single bonds, as seen in the molecular structure of saturated fats, are more stable than the double bonds prevalent in the PUFAs. PUFAs also release lipid peroxides when they're exposed to heat and light, which can lead to oxidative damage to our DNA and tissues. And they can also create trans fats when they're heated, which lead to cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. Due to the nature of how the seed oils are manufactured, many toxic byproducts are released in the process, which can also damage DNA and be carcinogenic. The other major difference between saturated fats and the PUFAs that are recommended by the American Heart Association are the fatty acid composition. PUFAs tend to be higher in omega-6 linoleic acid, whereas saturated fats tend to be higher in the stearic acid. An ideal ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids is 1:1, or by some standards, 4:1. However, thanks to the standard American diet, high in industrialized seed oils like soybean oil, corn oil, etc., most people are consuming a ratio of 20:1 of the omega-6 to omega-3. So from an evolutionary perspective, this ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 of 20:1 or even higher is very disproportionate and can cause inflammation and metabolic dysfunction. Ultimately, you can describe metabolic dysfunction as abdominal and visceral fat accumulation around the vital organs, glucose intolerance, or type 2 diabetes, whether it's diagnosed or undiagnosed, and obesity, all which contribute to heart disease. It's pretty ironic that the very oils recommended by the American Heart Association are actually contributing to the obesity epidemic and state of inflammation that puts people at greater risk of dying from viruses. 88% of the U.S. population is metabolically unhealthy, meaning they have some sort of insulin resistance, glucose intolerance, high triglycerides, low high-density lipoprotein, high blood pressure, all which increase the risk of cardiovascular disease and atherosclerosis. Can you guess what the most common consumed oil is in the U.S.? It is by far soybean oil, with a total of 10.66 million metric tons, which is equal to about 22,000 pounds per year. consumed by Americans living in the USA. If you take the total population into account, which is about 330 million people, this equates to about 15,000 pounds per person per year and 41 pounds of soybean oil per day per person. If you look at the fatty acid composition of soybean oil, it's 58% PUFA, meaning it's prone to oxidation when it's heated, making it less ideal for cooking, which usually leads the manufacturer to hydrogenate the oil in order to make it more suitable for cooking. And you definitely don't want to be eating anything that's hydrogenated. It is also mostly composed of linoleic acid, the pro-inflammatory fatty acid. So quick lesson, omega-6 and omega-3 are both essential fatty acids. However, the problem today we see is that the omega-6 has outpaced the omega-3, meaning people are consuming a higher percentage of their essential fatty acids from the omega-6 versus the omega-3. And this is what's causing the inflammatory state. So omega-6 to omega-3 ratio of soybean oil is very disproportionate. It's 13.4 to 1 if partially hydrogenated, which in many cases it is, or 7.3 to 1 if it's not hydrogenated. So both are pretty high. To give you some perspective and comparison, the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio of 100% grass-fed ghee, for example, is 1.5 to 1. For tallow, which is also another fat derivative from cattle, is 1.4 to 1. If the cattle are grain-fed, of course, the ratio would be slightly higher because animals-fed grains would have a higher content of the omega-6 fatty acid. And unfortunately, most of the cattle are fed corn or soy at some point in their life in the U.S. So this would raise the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. So while I tend to focus on the metabolic outcomes of inflammation, being that I help people restore their metabolic health via weight loss, diet, and lifestyle changes, the inflammation from this disproportionate ratio also leads to cognitive diseases, hormonal problems such as infertility, and GI diseases, gastrointestinal diseases such as irritable bowel syndrome, and of course, autoimmune diseases. So in general, heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. So I'm focusing on that for the purpose of this podcast. However, keep in mind, it can cause other problems. So here's another interesting statistic about soybean oil. In 1909, it only provided 0.006% of calories in the average American diet. 90 years later, in 1999, soybean oil contributed more than 7% of total calories. So surprisingly, this is a 1,000-fold increase in just 90 years. Another reason to avoid these oils, they're usually made from genetically modified crops. In the United States, 88% of corn, 93% of soy, and 94% of cotton, and 93% of rapeseed are genetically modified. Farms are actually incentivized by our government to grow these crops. And why would they genetically modify crops? It's in order to withstand the loads of Roundup Ready glyphosate and other pesticides that they use on them. So in 2020, Bayer and Monsanto merged. They paid $10 billion in settlements towards non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cases that were linked to their Roundup Ready glyphosate, weed killer. So you may be thinking, if these oils are so unhealthy, why would they be recommended by the American Heart Association? Well, I don't really know exactly why, but here's a small history lesson. The American Heart Association was founded in 1924 in New York City. In the 1940s, Procter & Gamble gave the American Heart Association $1.5 million in funding. So just to give you an idea, if you adjust for inflation, $1.5 million in the 1940s is probably somewhere around $28 million today. So Procter & Gamble are the inventors of Crisco, which at the time was made of cottonseed oil. Cottonseed oil is essentially a waste product from the production of cotton. Remember, the U.S. was a big producer of clothing, you know, around the Industrial Revolution and afterwards. The American Heart Association actually referred to Crisco as quote-unquote heart healthy when compared to animal fats. And animal fats, keep in mind, have been in the diet for thousands of years. That may have something to do with why the American Heart Association still recommends, you know, seed oils. And so Procter & Gamble actually invented this trans fat margarine, Crisco, in 1911. And it wasn't until almost 100 years later, in 2007, that Crisco products were reformulated to contain less than 1 gram of trans fat per serving. And as of 2012, the Crisco consists of a blend of soybean oil. There we go, soybean oil again. Fully hydrogenated palm oil, and partially hydrogenated palm and soybean oil. So this could be partially why the American Heart Association still favors things like soybean oil over butter. I'm not sure, but I just wanted to give you some background information. So the main issue here is that without even knowing, someone could be consuming soybean oil or other seed oils. They're hidden ingredients in so many foods. I found that they sneak into condiments like mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard, salad dressings, even hummus, bread sometimes. The moral of the story here is to cook with high quality fats that don't have a high omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. Check ingredients, check what oils are being used, ask what oils are being used to cook things. I personally like to buy, you know, foods that don't come with labels because they're directly from the farm and are super fresh, but it's a great habit to get into, to knowing what you're eating, being more conscientious of that. I could go on and on about this topic because I'm so passionate about it, but I'll end here for today. If you have any questions, email me, leave comments, leave feedback. I appreciate you listening. Again, this is your host, Holistic Lexi. So if you enjoyed this podcast, I'd really appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whichever platform you're listening on. Your feedback is much appreciated. Feel free to share it with whomever would find this interesting, and stay healthy.